We're going to continue our journey through John's Gospel. We got to chapter 19. We've done the first half, Jesus' trial, and that was not a very pleasant experience. Well, the next bit's not much pleasanter either. So let's just pray and ask the Lord's help, shall we? Father, we come to you and pray, Lord, you'll bless us as we look at this holy ground, this special part of the Bible, Lord, where we see Jesus dying for us. Lord, we come to you and we pray you'll help us, Lord, to understand, in what limited measure we can, what it meant for you to take away our sins. Lord, we ask your blessing and the help of your Holy Spirit, who alone can give us true light. Help us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's John chapter 19 we've got to, and it's halfway through it almost, I guess, where it says this, if I can find it, verse 16 and a half, in fact. Yeah. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Now that comes from verse 16. Pilate finally handed him over to them to be crucified. Well, he gave them over to the Jewish authorities, but they couldn't do the crucifying. It was the Roman soldiers that were given the job. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Well, Jesus is in a bit of a mess by now. He's been beaten up and flogged with those terrible whip things. And it says, carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic or Hebrew, it's an alternative reading, that's the right word for it, it's called Golgotha. Jesus carried his cross. Now then, you notice John is assuming you've read the other Gospels, because Jesus didn't carry his own cross all the way.
Yeah, I know.
So he misses out the bit about Simon of Cyrene. He was forced by the Romans to do the carrying job instead, because Jesus was too weak by that time. Yeah. So John is assuming you've read that, as he does quite a few things. And he fills in a lot of details that the other Gospels don't, which we'll come across as we go along. Yeah. This is an eyewitness account. John was there. Right? Some of the disciples had run away, but John was there, as we'll see later on. Yeah? Okay. And they took him out to a place called the place of the skull, which in the Hebrew language, the Aramaic language, is called Golgotha. Place of the skull. Why is it called the place of the skull? Because it looks like one. That's the best explanation. It wouldn't be a place where skulls were. It was a place of execution. It was a public place of execution. But Jews wouldn't allow skulls lying around. It was just unclean, you know. So it looks like one. And it's probably to the north of Jerusalem. It's outside the city, as we'll see. There are two possible places as to where Jesus gets buried. We'll look at that as well. But it's outside the city. Why?
Because you're going to have a dead body in the
Well, city. That's possibly so, yes. But there's a promise in Hebrews. It says Jesus went outside. He took the curse on himself and took it out. Yeah, so that's part of what it's about. Yeah. And of course, the other reason is that it's a place where people can see. Public place. And there was a main road. If you go to Jerusalem now, on the north end of it, Damascus Gate and so on, just out there, there's the main road. So it's where people were going by, they'd see things happening, yeah? So that's what it was. There, they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle, right? So they crucified him. What does that mean? They nailed him to the cross. That's what it means. And they left him there, basically. People could take days to die. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a terrible form of torture for people to die with, yeah. And they got two other criminals. We're told that they were robbers or whatever it was, or people involved in some sort of terrible crimes. And one on either side. Isn't that interesting? You know, Jesus in the middle. And we're not told what the other Gospels tell us there. That these two guys have a different fate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of them turns to Jesus later, and the other one didn't. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you know, Jesus is like that with the world now. He's there in the middle, mm-hmm. And he's inviting us to respond to him. It's either yes or no. What choice are you going to make? Yeah. So that's where Jesus was, in the middle. And when they crucified them, a lot of the paintings you'll see are a bit sort of fanciful. Jesus was crucified near the city. He wasn't far away. Well, some paintings seem to show him miles away from the city, of course. And the other is, how high up was Jesus on the cross? How far off the ground? Few inches, maybe a few feet. Mm. Not very much.
No.
Yeah. Why not? Why didn't they have, as you see in the pictures, Jesus twice the height of men on a cross? Sorry?
So that people could torment them.
Well, people could torment them. That's one of the things, yes.
They didn't think he was important.
Well, no, he was a common criminal as far as they're concerned. Mm. No, it's good old Roman economics. Yeah. Tall crosses cost money. Yeah. Short crosses are cheaper. Mm. So, does the job. Mm. That's what it's about, isn't it? Yeah. Right, okay, so Jesus is crucified there, right. Now then, we had this. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross.
Yeah.
Now, it was usual that whatever a person to be executed was charged with, they wrote it up so that everybody knew this is what they were being found guilty of, and that's their crime, mm-hmm. Right? So Pilate does this for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what is Jesus' crime? It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Mm-hmm. That's his crime. Mm-hmm. But it's true. Mm-hmm. Guilty as charged. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't guilty of being a terrible king or anything, was he? He's the King of the Jews. But Pilate did that.
Yeah.
Why did Pilate do that?
To annoy them.
To annoy them. Yes, to annoy them. He did that because, we see what it says. It says, many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And so they're all going by, it's a place to see. It says, and the sign was written in Aramaic or Hebrew, yeah, Latin and Greek. Three languages for the sign. Yes. Right. Why? So everybody can read it. Everybody. This is for Jews, Gentiles and anybody passing by. Right, Aramaic, or the Hebrew, they spoke Hebrew as well, you know. Yeah. Aramaics are related to Hebrew, but Aramaic is the religious language. So that's the language for religious people.
Yeah.
They get the message. Jesus is here, King of the Jews.
Yeah.
What about Latin? It's the political language. They're the civil force. Yeah. So that's the cultural language, yes? And the Greek is for
educated.
Yeah. Yes, they, you know, the thinkers, right? So the intellectual, the political, the religious, anybody can get the message.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't Pilate's intention that the world should know. But it's God's intention that it got written that way.
Yeah.
See how God works things?
Yeah.
Behind what people plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, God's at work.
Yeah.
Right, so that was the message, right? The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate. Well, they're the chief priests and they're Jewish. Right? And the last thing they want, because they're Jews, they don't want to have this guy be called their king.
Yeah.
Right? Which is exactly what Pilate meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, they go to Pilate and protest. Right? Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Right? So that's what they're objecting to,
mm-hmm.
is that this Jesus is being called their king.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And they don't want him as their king, of course. But they object to this. They're not very happy about it. Pilate answers, what I have written, I have written. In other words, bought you, it's stayed. Now this is the one occasion where Pilate gets his way. Because it makes no difference to anybody what Pilate does at this point. Remember, if it's something that he might affect his job, he'll give in. But if he can get away with it, he will. He's ruthless. So it's his last shot at the Jews, really, yes. What I've written, I've written. And of course, it was God's intention that it should be there.
Yeah.
Interesting how God can work through people's petty little minds and little arguments and stuff to bring about what he wants. Yeah. Right. Now then, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining.
Mm-hmm.
So the soldiers, well, that was one of the perks of the job,
mm-hmm.
if you call it that. Yeah. The people who did the executing got to get to keep the stuff that the prisoner had, mm-hmm. the clothes usually. He didn't have any Rolex watches and things like that in those days. Yeah. So, the clothes are divided into four. How many soldiers were guarding Jesus? Four soldiers. Four soldiers. Good logic there, right? Four soldiers guarding Jesus, and they managed to get enough to divide the lot into four, except for one garment. One garment. The undergarment that Jesus wore.
Yeah.
And it says, where is it? The undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. So it was specially made.
Yeah.
It wasn't any off the peg stuff. No. This was a special piece of clothing that Jesus wore. And you probably won't know this, but it was the type of clothing that was worn by the high priest. I mean, it was serious quality stuff, you know. And it was Jesus wearing this, because he is the real high priest, of course. Yeah, but...
Well, they take it just for keepsakes.
Well, yeah, or they flog it. I suppose they'd make something out of it, wouldn't they? Yeah. Yeah. So, they've got equal shares, four parts each, and then there's this one piece left. Mm-hmm. Right. And they think, well, we can't tear it up, because if we tear it up, it's no good to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
What we'll do is, we'll figure out who gets it, we'll draw lots.
Yes.
Right, so what it says here? Right. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. So they get out the dice. Right? And how would you work it out with four people? And so who wins?
Okay,
put the highest. Oh, obviously the highest score.
Yeah.
Ah, well done. Have you done this before, have you? Okay. Highest score wins. Right. They're the one that gets the diamonds, right? Okay. So that's how it works. Yeah? And it was just everyday, ordinary stuff to these soldiers. Yeah? Just finding a way of how to get this extra piece of clothing. But what's going on? Prophecy is being fulfilled. God is engineering what's going on. And they don't know it. I mean, they're not being forced to do anything. This is how God works in things, you know? He doesn't force people to do anything, but they finish up doing what he wants.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Right, so, prophecy said, what did he say? Let's have a look. This is the end of it.
Yeah.
This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. That's Psalm 22. Yes. Psalm 22, written 1,000 years before this event. Now that's what I call long range prophecy. God's in charge. So what happens is that they cast the lots, and as a result they fulfil a prophetic word. They're all fulfilling prophecies, and none of them intended to. But God's in charge. Okay. So this is what the soldiers did. That's what they did. They cast lots, and sure enough, got the stuff. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Right. How many ladies?
Four
ladies. They're the opposite of the four soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
These have come to bless him, or mourn for him anyway. Who are the ladies? The cross of Jesus stood his mother. That is?
Mary.
His mother's sister.
His aunt.
You can figure it out. I can't quite remember the names. I don't think it's Salome, it might be. But it's his aunt.
Yeah.
It's Jesus' aunt. And it probably is John's mother.
Yeah.
He doesn't give her a name away. Because John keeps himself out of the...
But Elizabeth would be his cousin's mother. So would that be his aunt?
Mary's his auntie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Mary's his auntie. As far as we can work it out. Yeah. That's a guess anyway.
Yeah.
Right, so John is here, but he's not letting it be known that it's him. Yeah? Right. Not obviously anyway, right? Anyway. And then Mary, the wife of Clopas.
Yeah.
There are lots of Marys.
Yeah.
Very common name, really. Miriam, we've got one here. The word's Miriam, that's what it means. That's what the name is, yeah. Right? And Mary Magdalene, another Mary.
Yeah.
Mary from Magdala, that's where Magdalene is, yes, right, yeah. So these three, four ladies, they've come to be at the cross. Yeah, to stand with Jesus, really, yes. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son."
Mm-hmm.
And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." So, Jesus is near enough the ground to see them and to be able to talk to them. Fancy talking while you've been crucified. Anyway, he sees Mary. How do you think Mary looked at the time? Dejected, broken. Again, this was fulfilling a prophecy that was said about Mary. You know?
She took it on from the beginning. Yeah.
Because when Jesus was taken to Jerusalem as a baby, the man that came up prophesied said, "And a sword will pierce your heart." Yeah, and she sees this thing happening in front of her eyes, and she thinks that's what he meant. So here's Mary, dejected, I guess, and the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is
John.
Yes, right. Now then, Jesus looks at these two, and what does he do? He says, "Dear woman, here is your son." What does he mean?
He wants John to look after Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? And he says to John, the disciple, "Here is your mother." Mm-hmm. It's your job to look after her. Mm-hmm. What's Jesus doing?
Getting
things straight in one sense. But he's caring for other people. Again. All the time. Yeah? He's showing love and care and compassion for someone who's suffering when he's suffering even worse. Amazing, isn't it? So there he says, from that time on, right, from those days onwards, this disciple took her into his home. Right, so John takes her home to his home. And from all accounts, what we can gather is John knows the high priest. He lives in Jerusalem some of the time. Yeah, he must have a fairly big house. So to take Mary in was not a problem, I guess. You know, and look after her. So there is a teaching amongst the Catholic Church that Mary looked after the disciples. No, the disciples looked after Mary. John is the disciple that does it. It's his home that she goes to. Now then, so that's what's happened there. Now then, later, how later? But it's hours that Jesus was on the cross. How many hours was he on the cross?
Six hours.
Crucified at 9 in the morning. Gave his life away. So sometime, a long time later, some possibly we don't know, knowing that all was now completed, so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." So Jesus on the cross knows there's just a few more loose ends to tie up in a sense. He knows that all has been completed. Yeah? Well, it's not all completed yet, but as far as he's concerned, it's finished. He's done the work. So he's just going to tie up a loose end or two. And so he says, "I'm thirsty." Well, was he thirsty?
No,
thirsty. Yes, he was. Being crucified is a thirsty job, I'm afraid. You're losing fluid. You're sweating like nothing else. It's not good. Thirsty. So it was true. And he's not making it up. I am thirsty. But he tells them he's thirsty. Well, let's go ahead. A jar of wine vinegar was there. Who was the wine vinegar for?
Was it for Jesus?
It's cheap wine, it's cheap plonk. I bought some in Calais, I think it was, when Jean and I went youth hostling. Oh, it was disgusting stuff. It really was. Cheap plonk's the word for it. Well, this is what the soldiers said. Remember, they're keeping guard over these guys. They can last for hours and hours and hours. It's a job, you need a little refreshment now and again.
Wine vinegar,
not for me. Those soldiers are used to this stuff. They're alright, it's good. You want to try some? We'll get you some. Wine vinegar, not vinegar, wine vinegar. It's probably slightly sweetened vinegar, I should think. Anyway, Jesus said it, right? So, a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. So that tells you Jesus wasn't too high up, because all they do is got a stick on the stick and put it up to his mouth. So they got this sponge and they stuck it on a stick of hyssop, some plant that was nearby, and they managed to snap the end of it and stick the sponge on, dip it in and put it to his lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Now Jesus drank that, didn't he?
Well,
you mustn't rush. There's lots of prophecies being fulfilled all the time. Jesus drinks the wine. He was given, offered something at the beginning of the crucifixion. He was offered a type of wine then. Remember? John doesn't mention this. It's in the other Gospels.
Yeah.
He didn't refuse that. Why?
It wasn't the right wine.
It wasn't the right wine. Not the wrong year, no.
It wasn't the one that was prophesied for the right time.
That's not the right time either.
It wasn't the one that was prophesied.
No.
It was cheap.
No, it wasn't. There's something in the wine. First time.
They
drugged it. It's a painkiller.
Yeah?
Yes. I don't know whether they did that out of compassion for the poor souls or not. I don't know. But the initial wine was drugged with a painkiller. Like Jesus refused that because he wants to keep his head as he's going through everything.
Yeah.
Right? So he refused that. But now, after he's gone through everything, this isn't drugged wine. It's just wine vinegar. And he drinks that. And it says, he drank the wine. Yeah, John doesn't mention it, but was that fulfilling prophecy?
Yes,
it's mentioned that he was given wine to drink. They parted his garments, that's one of the things, and they gave him wine to drink. Okay, when he'd done that, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished. Everything's done."
Mm-hmm.
Right. He didn't say, "I am finished."
No,
it is finished. Mm-hmm. Works done. Do you know that's that sentence? It's just one word in the Aramaic. Yeah. It just rings through eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Finished. Yeah? He's done the work that he came to do. He says, and with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now then, one more thing about the wine before we say this. The other Gospels tell you this. John doesn't mention this. Right? When Jesus said, "It is finished," how did he say, "It is finished"? How? A loud cry. If you're thirsty, you've got a job making a cry of anything, right? The wine was to wet himself so he could give him a, "Yes, it is finished." Right? And then it says, and with that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It does not say, please note,
life.
And he died.
No. Mm.
He did not die.
No.
He died by giving himself to death.
Yeah.
Right? He gave himself over to death. He said, "I give my life, nobody takes it from me."
Yeah.
Right. So he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Yeah.
Right. Now then, that's it. Crucifixion finished. And John's missed out all about the sun and all the stuff and the soldiers and the comets and everything else. You have to read that in the other Gospels.
Yeah.
Right. Now, it was the day of preparation. Remember, I told you last week, what is the day of preparation?
The coming,
it's Friday.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Shabbat.
Yeah. Friday is the day preparing for the Sabbath on Friday evening to Saturday. Yeah. So, the day of preparation. The next day was to be a special Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it a special Sabbath?
No.
Passover. Mm-hmm. Passover week is the first Sabbath in the Passover week. So a very special one. Right. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Right. Now, how about this? Why don't they want the bodies left on the crosses? Because the Romans would leave them to rot.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Be unclean. Yes. It will break the law. Yeah. Now isn't that incredible hypocrisy on their part?
Yeah.
They're picking out nits and things like this, and yet they're creating a murder scene while they're doing it.
Yeah.
Terrible, isn't it? How people can be so religious and yet so anti-God at the same time. So, they're all very upset. We don't want bodies around on the Sabbath, you know, it's bad. Yeah. So, they send somebody to Pilate to ask him to speed things up. Right? So, it says they asked to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Why? What about the legs?
They
could fold up the crucifixions. Why break the legs? What's that going to do? But the shock would be bad enough, right? They had great big mallets, you know. Sorry about this, yeah? Yeah? But, why would breaking your legs finish you off?
Yeah.
Because the Bible says not one of his sons.
Ah, we're coming to that. No, you're rushing, yeah.
They lifted themselves up so that they could
hear. They lifted themselves up because their feet were nailed to a little pedestal type thing. They could, so when their muscles go into spasm, they can lift themselves up to breathe.
Yeah.
Right? When your legs are broken, you suffocate.
Did they use four or three nails?
Sorry? Probably if it was Roman economics, three. Pin your legs together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the two arms. But they managed. What the Romans did, they avoided the arteries.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't bleed to death.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You just suffer.
Oh.
Long.
Yeah.
Wicked. Yeah.
Things were like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now then, where have we got to? Right. So they ordered, asked to have the legs broken. Right. And then the body's taken down, yeah? The soldiers, therefore, so Pilate sent them instructions. Obviously, said the Jews couldn't tell them to do this. It came from Pilate. So Pilate sends instructions to the soldiers, break the legs, finish it off, yeah? The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man who'd been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. Why?
Because they were still alive.
They were still alive. Right, okay. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs.
Because it was steady, wasn't it?
Right.
Why, why would they have not got to Jesus last when he was in the middle?
Two groups of soldiers, I suppose. One at the side and they couldn't meet together in the middle. I don't know. The way the layout was.
The
way it's written, finished two off and then we've got Jesus and he's dead, Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear. Right, why did he do that?
Make sure.
Right? He's dead, but you know, just to make sure. Right, okay. Right. So they pierced his side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Right, so, you medics, tell me what's happened.
Well, that's dead. The serum separated.
It's blood has coagulated.
Yeah.
I've got news for you. When your blood coagulates, you're dead.
Yeah.
Right? Blood only flows when it's blood.
Yeah.
Once it's split into the serum and the clot, it's a sign of death.
Yeah.
Where did it all come from? His heart, you would suspect. His heart had broken as he gave his life up and filled the cavity.
Yeah.
So when they stick the spear in, out comes the stuff. Yeah? Really dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Important, that's important. We'll come to that in a moment. Yeah, yeah. Right? Where have we got it now? Bringing a sudden flow of water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. So what's John saying? This, I saw it. It really happened. Yeah. Now why is he doing that? He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. Really, really happened. But there are other reasons why John says this. Yeah. You need to know what's going on in John's day. There were heresies beginning to form around in the church. It said that Jesus didn't really die. John's saying is, he really died. Right? Now, there was a sort of false teaching saying it just appeared that way. John's saying it didn't appear, it was real. Yeah. And then there are others who denied that Jesus was a man, a human. Right? Well, you don't bleed to death. Well, you didn't bleed to death, but you don't bleed if you're not human.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things. And the other is that it says that the blood and the water came out, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I suspect there's a sort of symbolism in that as well. The blood that atones for our sins and the promise of the Spirit to work in us as well, you know. So, that's what John says. I've seen it. I was there. This really, really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so Jesus was dead. Yeah, no question.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, when he was risen from the dead, it was a real resurrection.
Yeah.
Because, you may have found that, this one as well. People have come up with theories, he didn't really die, he swooned, you know. And they put him in the... Yeah, that's true, people come up with nonsense, yeah. He swooned and they put him in the grave, in the tomb, and they gave him a few days and he managed to recover a bit and toddled out, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
His body was ripped to pieces.
Exactly, yeah. But not only was his body ripped to pieces, the guy's plotted.
Yeah.
Yeah? You're dead!
Yeah.
Right, so the resurrection was real resurrection. Yeah. Okay, all of those things are tied up with John's witness to that.
Yeah.
So he testifies so that you may believe. We're not making it up. Mm-hmm. It's facts.
Right.
These things happen so that the scripture will be fulfilled. Once again. Mm-hmm. Not one of his bones will be broken. Mm-hmm. What's that all about? It's a prophecy. Where's the prophecy come from? No, it's not Psalm 22. This goes a long way back before Psalm 22. No, Isaiah. Long ways before Isaiah. Isaiah was after Psalm 22, by the way. Isaiah came nearly 700 years. No. It's back in Exodus, the time of Moses. When the Israelites were told to leave Egypt, they were to sacrifice a lamb, right? And put the blood on the doors. And God gave them this special instruction, don't break the bones. Well, I mean, what's the point of that? Yeah? What's the point of that? Well, it makes no difference whether you break the bones or not when the lamb's dead, does it?
Mm.
Yeah? So why did God tell him to do that?
Because
he's prophesying that the lamb that was in the Passover is the one on the cross.
Right.
Yes? The Passover lamb is Jesus.
Yeah,
that's the connection God's made. And it took him 3,000 years to do that. No, 1,500 years to do that one. Yeah? The Exodus in about 1400 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so God laid down the instructions of how Jesus would die 1400 years before.
Right. Yeah.
So, that's one. So, not one of his bones will be broken. And there's another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Where's that come from? There's a reference there for you if you don't know.
Somebody raising up the sea monster.
No. This is a prophecy of Zechariah. And which is one of the late prophets. Yes? Zechariah is prophesying about the Messiah. And he's prophesying about the Jews turning back to Messiah. Yeah? He says, the time will come when the house of David will weep. And the other families will weep at what they realize has happened. Yeah? And it says, they will look on him they have pierced and mourn. Right? All of a sudden they realize we've crucified our Messiah. The Jews are going to turn to Jesus.
Yes.
That's the promise. Yeah.
Yes.
They will look on him. Of course, we're part of that as well. We'll look on him. Because what pierced Jesus? I mean, it was a sword. It was your sins.
Our sins,
ultimately, yeah. So we look at what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
We realise he died for us as well. Yeah. Right, so that's the scriptures fulfilled.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now then, this point in the events of Jesus' life and death, there's a line you could draw under there. Jesus has just died.
Yeah.
Right? That's, he's reached the bottom of his humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
He was mocked, ridiculed at the cross, tortured basically as well. All of that thrown at him, you know, and he bore it for us.
Yeah.
From this point on, Jesus is on his way up now.
Yeah.
He's treated with dignity from this point on.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because what did they normally do with the bodies of the deceased? Dump them.
Yeah.
No, these would then be dumped into some mass grave or something,
yeah,
or some hole somewhere, yeah. Yeah? Yeah, but not Jesus.
No.
Right, okay. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. How about that?
Yeah.
Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus. Well, he was more than a disciple of Jesus. What else was he? He was a man from the other Gospels. He was one of the top brass. Yes, so he could go and have a word with Pilate. You know, you've got access. You know, so he has a word with Pilate, and he was. It says he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, he'd been a disciple of Jesus for a long time, but he wouldn't say anything because the others would have a go at him. You're not one of his, are you?
Yeah,
yeah. And he says, well, being frightened of what people say can be a really terrible thing.
Yeah.
Yeah? He's worried about what people think, what they'll say.
Yeah.
And they've got some pretty powerful clout, these people. You know, they can destroy you by their nasty ways.
Yeah.
And so he was rightly worried in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But now that Jesus has died, what does he do? Perhaps conscience gets better a bit.
Yeah.
And he comes out of his little hole, and he comes out into the open, and says, I'd like to have the body of Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Why did he do that? I might be doing him an injustice. I mean, the commentators think this is a very brave move on his part, and I'll agree with them. But I also think it may be he's just siding with Jesus. Now that Jesus is dead, they can't do any more, can they?
Yeah.
Can't make it any worse.
Yeah.
So maybe there's not going
to...
I think so, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, I think he has, yeah. It's a bit late, but I'll do what I can now.
Yeah.
It says, okay...
He doesn't have to sigh a lot, other than met somebody else.
Well, that's true.
Other than
cleanse
my body.
Yeah, but he's coming out and associating himself with his Jesus, whether he's dead or not. You know. Yeah. So, with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away.
Mm-hmm.
He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. So, what was Nicodemus, by the way?
He
was a member of the Sanhedrin. No, mates.
Right,
that's between them, they were secret disciples.
Yeah.
Nicodemus had come to Jesus at night.
Yeah.
You know why he came at night?
They
want to be seen. Right, but now he comes out during the day.
Yeah.
I think they've begun to show their true colours at last.
I think they've seen what has happened to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I mean, because they've been following him all along, they knew that he was a good man.
Yeah.
And what has happened to him? They think, yes, this is it. This man. And so,
maybe that's why they last with him. So, they both pop their heads up. Yeah.
Also, God's way of making sure that
Jesus it was.
Because
you know, these are believers.
Yes.
No unbeliever touches Jesus from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
No unbeliever touches Jesus from now on. And
these people would also know the scriptures, wouldn't they?
But I don't think they knew they were fulfilling scripture again. There's another prophecy coming up. Another prophecy coming up in this, what happens here.
Thomas
was a disciple all the same, and that was before after Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus says, look, touch me, believe. He's a believer. My Lord and my God, you don't get better than that, do you? Joseph and Nicodemus go and collect the body, and he says, Nicodemus bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds is my translation, 100 litri is the Greek, that's quite a lot of spices type things, you know. That just shows you they are not short of a few pennies. These are rich people.
How he was beaten with all this blood. They have to
see him properly. So the large amount would mean they cover his body with it. As they wrapped him up. That was part of we see the Jewish burial customs. Okay, so he got that. So taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial custom. So that was the way the Jews buried people. The Egyptians mummified people. That's not the case. They had their own particular customs. So John doesn't mention it this time, but there's another prophecy just being fulfilled. I'll take it to Well, that's what it means. It's Isaiah 53. I'll just get you Isaiah 53. Very well known passage. Let's have a look. Well, let's read it before we verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yeah? He was assigned a grave with the wicked, which means he was crucified with criminals. Yeah? But with the rich in his death. You know, the old godly Jewish commentators, this is before Jesus was born. You know, there's still writings of some of the old commentators, you know. And they write about these passages, and they see, they believe it's about Messiah. Mm-hmm. But so often the comments are, we don't understand what he means. Why this with the rich in his death? Mm-hmm. We don't know what it means. They're honest enough to say, you know, I don't know what this means. Mm-hmm. It's only after it's fulfilled, you say, it was Joseph of Arimathea's grave. He was buried in the rich man's grave.
Yeah.
See, he was buried, crucified with criminals, and buried in a rich man's grave.
Yeah.
And the other Gospels tell us it was a new one, never been used before.
Yeah.
Right? This is a grave for the king, remember, Right, he's being honoured from now on. Yeah. Right, so last little bit then. Verse 41. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid.
Mm-hmm.
So, nearby, a garden, probably Joseph's garden.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Jesus buried? In a tomb. Yes, but exactly where? Is it the garden tomb, or is it the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? They've got a place there as well, you know.
Yeah, they have.
Right.
The garden
is mentioned, but remember, Jerusalem was flattened, rebuilt, flattened many times, and so on.
Yeah.
Exactly where the spot was. And of course, the other thing that's important is that Jesus was taken outside the city wall.
Yeah.
Well, the Tomb of the Holy Sepulchre is now inside the city wall.
Yeah.
But the old city wall was on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't know, but it's that area.
Yeah.
But the garden tomb is as good a spot as any, I would say. It's near.
Mary thinking he was the gardener.
Yes.
Mary thought that Jesus was the gardener, yes.
There must have been the caretaker.
There was a gardener, yes. Yeah, no, this is first century. I'm talking about later on. Later on. The site of where Jesus was buried, we don't know for sure. Yeah, I mean, the garden tomb's a first century tomb. It's got the right area, it's got the right feel about it, but you can't say for certain. And the fact is, he's not there.
No.
So anyway, you know, people. One of the tragedies of the Holy Sepulchre is if you get a religious site, people can turn it into an idolatrous place.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They tend to worship the site rather than the thing that happened there than the one who did it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe that's why the Lord didn't tell us exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so it was in a garden near somewhere. Yeah, very close by. Why close by?
So the mother could get to it.
So they could get to it. Well, that's true, because Jesus wanted the disciples to see. That's one of the things, yeah. But there's another, I think, more pressing reason. Why did they bury him in the garden too?
To make people aware what they've done.
No.
They didn't have time.
Yeah. Remember, they wanted the legs broken to get the guys down quick, because Sabbath's coming fast. Sabbath is on its way, so get this guy buried before Sabbath.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so this is the last bit. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. They're running out of time. Do it quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the ladies came back on the Sunday to finish off what was being done.
Yeah.
Give him a proper burial.
Yeah.
Right, too late. He's back from the dead. But never mind. They meant well, didn't they?
Yeah.
They meant well. Okay, so next time we look at an empty tomb. Looking at nothing. How about that? And seeing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we seen you hanging on that cross and caring about others. And Lord, we read in the other Gospels, you prayed for your persecutors. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, and it was our sin you were carrying. You're not just theirs, not all the wicked stuff they've done, but Lord, you took our sin on yourself as well, Lord. And we want to say thank you for dying for us. Thank you for caring for us, making provision for us, Lord, as you did for Mary and for John. We bless you, Lord. You're a God who knows how to look after us. We bless you, Lord, for the boldness of Joseph and Nicodemus, that they were willing to make a stand at the end, Lord, and then to honour you, Lord, by looking after your body until you rose from the dead. We want to thank you, Lord, for what you went through, Lord, and now it's finished. The battle is won, Lord. All the struggles are over, Lord Jesus. And you are now the victor over death and sin. And we rejoice. We bless you, Lord. What was a terrible time, Lord, now looking back, we can see the most amazing victory that this world has ever seen. We praise your wonderful name.